All right, it is 7:04 and we'll call the Sustainability Commission meeting. Simon.
Here.
Commissioner Charette.
Here.
Commissioner Chang.
Here.
Commissioner Clancy is absent. Commissioner McLean is absent. Commissioner Roberts is absent. Commissioner Vesey.
Here.
We have a quorum.
All right, perfect. Is there public comments?
Not hear from anybody.
We're going to have to drum up, you know, a controversial topic so we can start to get some people in the room. All right, did everybody get a chance to review the meeting minutes from the last meeting? Are any, do we need a motion first? Can we have a motion to you? Well, let's first, is there any changes?
Right. Chairman Simon. Commissioner Charette.
Yes.
Commissioner Chang.
Yes.
And Commissioner Vesey.
Yes.
Bolin. All right, we'll do commissioner reports. Jeff, okay if we start with you?
Yeah, are we just the other time to discuss the
so you can take this time to talk about.
Yeah, okay. Well, we made a little progress. Kind of up to date, came up to speed with, you know, the current program, the various options, and spent some time with Sarah kind of talking through what the goal have currently, and of course, a lot of them appear to be without a whole lot of work. Some of them are going to be your lift, and so we have a plan. Points we'll go to, and whether we think.
The level of difficulty is.
Sorry, say that again.
What do you think the level of difficulty is getting the silver?
To get the silver seems fairly achievable. There, we still need to narrow in on which were a handful on there that I think are pretty achievable. Action from our committee. There is a statement. I don't have it wrong nomenclature, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there's like a letter that would need to be issued zoning rights that are already in existence. Try to get to go to gold. That would likely require an amendment to the current ordinance, and it may not be full review all that controversial or challenging. It doesn't appear at first blush to necessarily policy, but it requires it to be codified in the that engaged with either or somebody with
If we could just find that tracking spreadsheet for the points. I did look for it, and I wasn't able to find it.
That's
so.
On me. I'll dig it up.
Oh, no, that's fine. And I reached out to Cheryl Scott at MMC to see if she could help us out with Charles's files or anything. And then we'll have a better understanding of which points we should go for in silver.
What do we get when we...
Yeah, it's really the latter, right? Okay. But we don't tangibly get anything. I mean, we call ourselves a Soul Smart community. We already can, but we can call ourselves a Soul Smart soul, depending on what we do. But it's more just that it continues to ease the path of rooftop installation.
Yeah, that's my... And I think there are some, you know, when you're picking and choosing what points you're getting, some of them are more for communities like ours versus some are rural areas or where you might have large-scale developments. So sort of already zeroed in the ideas or programs that would make.
Category, this now means resident ever. So like,
yeah, that, I mean, that's overall the main goal, basically what you said. Hopefully get fees lower. There's, you know, thresholds that either there's no fees, there's fees under $100 or $500, or you're just confirming your fees are recouping your actual. Need to work that out and that, along with most of the others, are focused on making it easier. So, around times, being able to find, which we actually are. We're getting on one form. Step for people to take.
Our like slogan is, you know, knocking down barriers.
Yeah, right.
So on the subject of rooftop solar, well, you know what, sorry.
Actually, can you guys do me a favor?
Okay, cool.
Is everybody using their microphones? You might as well practice with me, because if you don't have your microphones it's really breaking up.
I think, like, can you hear me right now, Lisa?
I can.
Okay.
Just pull them a little closer.
Yeah, mine maybe wasn't that close. So.
Ooh,
sorry, you couldn't hear me.
That's the deep bass of Jeff going on right there.
Got it. You sound better already, Jeff. Thank you.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
Jeff, anything else?
No. So I think hopefully come back in January with some specifics, and then would think maybe within a few months after that, and they work to qualify for either silver or gold.
All right. Perfect. Thanks for taking us on. Yes?
My main report has to do just with the great work Sarah and I have been doing together on communications. We're building on the foundation Lisa created, taking her monthly calendar, and what we're doing is going ahead and looking at the three or four topics that we're using for each month, but one of those we're adding a new highlight, like Charlotte was highlighted in the monthly e-newsletter, and then we're sort of working out a system where I'll identify the topics and can sort of rearrange the order as suits the needs. And in the Google Drive, there's now, under the education folder, there's a folder called communications content, and there's procedures in there that have all the word limits as well as the calendar. And then there's two folders which are fully populated. One is images. We're going to put all the images folder so that anybody who wants to grab an image for some purpose can just go there. And content, actually, talked to Sarah, she had a great idea that we're going to sort of actually just put it all in one big document and then just search for certain things in there instead of doing the work of like splitting it all out in countries. So I think I feel like I'm getting a little bit of control over that monthly basic content process. I would say both Lisa and Sarah have heard me say this, but I just want to say it for the record, is that in 6 months or so, I hope the Village will evaluate their new monthly newsletter format, because I find it extremely hard to read, because I'm looking for the sustainability stuff. And I think it's a shame, because there's a lot of work going into it. I love the weekly format. I absolutely scan that. It's so quick, the headlines, I can go down, see what I want. And so that's been my suggestion, that if we still want to have longer features, which I think is the purpose of monthly, is that we put the weekly format and have links to the longer articles. My piece on that, my next objective, and I think we'll talk about it when we talk about community solar, but is, I know we need to get on top of the website. We did a couple of small updates to it, but I guess my list to tackle hopefully in time for the rollout of the community solar, which I'm waiting to time frame is on that. Well, the other thing I want to say is I think addendum to some last night is Lisa, I think when I mentioned the creation of the original sustainability plan, I couldn't remember. I remember mentioned Katie and Julie, and I might have forgotten to mention you, but you were, you know, part of that vision and pushing the whole laddering up to climate change. So, and to make sure to thank you on the record too.
You're very welcome. No worries.
No worries. Take your time.
Can you hear me? This is Susan Schreier. Oh, you can see me. Hi. So the main thing that I attended was the Planet Green Leaders Forum, which if everybody doesn't know about this, so, you know, I'm the rep to Planet Green. We have monthly meetings. And once a year, we have a meeting where we try to get as many leaders as possible from Oak Park and River Forest, but now it's really expanding. We had the somebody from the Park District in Maywood. There's a lot of exciting things going on there. And I tried to note down who was present, who was actually from River Forest. So in addition to Kathy Ducey, there was Anthony Cozy from D90, Mike Sletton from the Park District. I believe that's a first. Mary Sadowski from Dominican, and myself. So that was, for Planet Green, that's very unusual because I'm often the only lone voice of River Forest. So there are all kinds of speakers. A big focus right now this year and going forward to Planet Green is equity and inclusion. And so we had speakers from the Center for Neighborhood Technology and the Urban Efficiency Group speaking to that. And then we heard from our youth, Jelena Collins and Sophia Ball, who went along with Charlotte, and they kind of gave their assessment of COP26. And they sort of focused on how prohibitive the cost as well as the vaccine policy was that kept a lot of people, you know, from lower income countries from coming, having as many representatives, as well as the inequality of the makeup of the people in the decision-making room. So even some people were present, but they wouldn't come in. Then a major part of the Leaders Forum was the Village of Oak Park announcing their climate action plan, which they hope to have completed. They've engaged a consultant and hope to have this completed by June. And in the effort to be inclusive, they have quite an impressive website, which we'll share later on. Some of it right now is just in beta form. They're rolling it out. But there's another part where they're just showing their metrics. And there's a whole lot of information on there. So I think we should try to piggyback off of it as much as possible, because a consultant has gone through a lot of effort to write up descriptions. We have a lot of these programs, and I think it would be a good guide maybe for Beth and the rest of us on how we might be able to revise our website and provide people with, you know, ongoing information about how we're doing on various programs. And then in the community leaders panel, you know, this was a long meeting, and so, you know, I don't want to go through everything, but basically in terms of what Kathy Ducey mentioned was accelerating the purchase of EVs. She didn't specify if that was for the village fleet or just to facilitate in the village, and incentivizing people to plant trees, among other things. In addition, Shane and I met with Gary Coonan to go over the greenhouse gas inventory because metrics, because he wasn't very familiar with these. And, you know, sort of noticed since the Planet Green has decided not to put out their report cards, that River Forest seems to be sort of left behind. Like, we show up and, you know, the whole meeting is about Oak Park and what they're doing and their climate action plan and everything else. So that was just an effort to catch Gary up to where we are in terms of all. He was very impressed. And, you know, and we noted at that, you know, as I said last night at the village meeting, that River Forest has hit 3 of the 4 Planet Green goals, reducing greenhouse gas emissions by 30% below 2007 levels by 2020, increasing renewable energy procurements by 25% by 2020, and increase community solar energy projects for both residents and institutions. And I don't know if they mean community solar projects or solar projects in the community, but again, there's been considerable progress. And Sarah actually shared with me the most recent statistics on rooftop solar. There were 10 new installations in 2020, another 6 this year. So I think that would be a good thing for us, you know, certainly to share amongst ourselves annually, but also, you know, also putting that out to the community, because I think as they see more people are doing it, they'll realize the ease of it. And I don't know, I like metrics. I think that's it. Well, and I was at the meeting last night, and Shannon did just an outstanding job, and I think it was well received. Lisa can speak more to that, but really good job.
Thanks for continuing to represent us at the Planet Green level. Yeah, just to pile on, last night's meeting went really well with the Village Board of Trustees. You know, I mean, super professional presentation by Shannon. Beth was on, so. Susan and I were there as well, and of course, she has to be there, and so does Sarah. So, you know, and it was late. It was like the last agenda item, so we're tired, but I think people were very enthusiastic about the progress.
That's one thing you can't tell when you're anybody's
reaction, right.
So.
Yeah, you know. No, it was very positive.
They seemed to sort of perk up, and they were listening more, and I thought people seemed very engaged. Of course, we have two big, hard-hitting supporters, so that helped.
Two former chairs on our commission, our trust. So that was great, and Shannon did an awesome job on that, and that's going to continue to be a really critical tool, which I was glad that Shannon made that point a couple times. You know, now this becomes a decision-making, you know, tool, something to have in the quiver. For the village as they make this one of the trustees, you know, I forget who it was, or maybe it was President Ducey, mentioned, like, you're looking at building codes and all that stuff, and, you know, I'm sure you guys were too, but to myself, I'm like, exactly, right? Like, you know, that's exactly the stuff that we need to start considering if we're going to continue to make progress on this. And by the way, like for this commission, that's kind of a future body of work that's pretty large. So something we really need to kind of think about is how do we kind of make recommendations on how some of the more complicated, more ingrained processes within the village, like design review and, you know, and all those kinds of things are affected by this. There's a lot of templates for it because there's a ton of, I don't know if Oak Park does this. But the only places I've lived besides here have done it, where there's point systems on energy. When you build a building or a house, you have to achieve a certain amount of points, and that's, you know, a combination of, you know, energy efficiency, you know, things in your house, as well as building materials and recycling. You know, and then where I moved from had an energy, like, you had to actually buy square footage. Commercial or residential, you couldn't exceed a certain amount of energy usage. You know, there's a lot of more complex things that we can, you know, tackle at some point. Lisa, any comments?
Well, thank you all for last night. It was actually really great to see Shannon get up and kind of represent the Sustainability Commission. I do think she did a great job. And it was great to have all of the other members of the committee, you know, of the commission there to support her. One thing to note is, and Eric, I just think it's worth mentioning that, yes, Kathy was at the Planet Green meeting, and in preparation for that meeting, we had pulled together a kind of, Gary had asked three questions, and unfortunately they never in that meeting got to the like kind of mayor's panel or spent that much time there, but there were three questions that were put forth. One was, you know, like, what are we doing in sustainability? And, you know, we're certainly committing to quite a bit, as Shannon mentioned. Second was, what are we doing for sustainability and equity? And that is an emerging area for us, you know, specifically as it relates to incentives for landlords and homeowners to, you know, install solar, to put in new windows, to do things to kind of weatherproof their homes with an eye toward lessening greenhouse gas emissions. We also put some wacky stuff out there, some of which Kathy was like, you've got to be kidding me. But I'm like, it's an idea, which is, do we put in, you know, work with basically all these ideas where how do we do these things together with other people in our, in, you know, neighboring areas? Can we put in a, you know, a windmill? So the important takeaway from all that was, not only was Kathy on the phone to get briefed, because she does need to be briefed as a, you know, as a senior official in the village, she's representing zoning, she's representing sustainability, she's representing economic development. But in the meeting was not only Eric and I, but Sarah and others from the village administration, you know, village administrative staff. And I think that was one of the first times that I know of where sustainability was talked about with such a broad range of people from the village. So, you know, it was awesome, you know, to see and have that kind of dialogue. And I think it does set the foundation for, you know, kind of future focus. That's it.
Thanks, Lisa. Hey, Sarah, do you know if, you know, the MMC meeting last month was, we were going to have somebody from the department or something attend?
Yeah, we asked our building. Let me follow up with him.
All right, great. So the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus Energy Subcommittee meeting this past month, I did not attend, but it was about building. And so Sarah asked. Sarah, do you have anything else to add to commissioner reports before we do it?
I do.
Can I just add one more thing? There's something I want to add at the end, which is that I just, you know, from being in Planet Green and talking to these other people, I'm just getting the sense that we've been treading water for a long time, but all of a sudden things are happening now and like major money is coming down the pipeline. So like, this is the time to get really focused and, you know, start putting your ass together, because like things are really just starting to happen. You know, you can feel the momentum building, and we want to be part of that and not just left behind. So just,
yeah, that's a great
pass on that change.
Yeah.
Because before it was like, well, you know, once CJ gets passed and once this and once that, and you know, all of these things are happening, so now,
and they all kind of happened at once.
Exactly. So
and we need to be in a position to take it. One thing we need to get our arms around is, and I know not, and you gave us like a, Jeff gave us a good overview of it when it first came out, but I just checked in today with the largest solar construction company in who happened to build our solar array at my office, and to ask him, like, has anything been sorted out yet? Because we want to do storage. Waiting on to find out what the CEJA, you know, benefits are going to be, you know, for storage. And they're still trying to sort it out. The Illinois Energy Commission. As soon as they do, we need to be ready to go.
Yeah, and I guess speaking on that, is that something that like MMC would be monitoring? Like, how do we make sure we're not behind if something does?
It should be the MMC.
Okay.
And like, you know, I think Susan, you'll hear stuff also through, like, you know.
Well, Mark Berger hasn't been giving updates for a long time, which I've been real confused about. I thought he would be, you know, interpreting all of this.
Yeah, because that's what Mark Berger does. And and he also was part of like the legislative, there's all that. So I guess there's numerous mediums that might come through. But the MMC has already said that, like, first of all, they're ready to grab some grant money so that they can hire up and then help us, you know, help their members do things. They're kind of ready to, for nonprofit, but. All right, Sarah, Colleen?
Yeah, so I just have a couple brief updates for you. So at the November 22nd Village Board meeting, the board directed staff to renegotiate a new five-year contract with LRS with a one-year opt-out clause just to ensure they're meeting certain customers. And to the commission's request about how to guide the negotiations. So thank you all for a lot of many meetings work of discussion.
Is there anything else we need to do?
Not at this time.
Okay. And then, yeah.
So the electric vehicle charging is now installed and it is operational. So thank you for your work on that as well. There's two spots, and we will be working on getting some signage put up so that it just says, you know, electric vehicle charging. And then I think once those signs are installed, we can do a little bit of a communication.
That'd be a great feature. Yeah.
I think we'll be ready to do that sometime later in January because I have one slot to fill in January. Christmas tree composting and Shannon's greenhouse gas inventory and electronics recycling, and I maybe would the signs
sure.
be up
yeah,
by later
totally.
In January?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Hey, Sarah, do you know if you guys got a longer cord for it?
I don't. I will follow up and find out.
Yeah, before we announce it, my husband did a test drive and it needs a longer cord. So I'm sure Jeff's all over it. You know, Rick, because he's on the traffic committee, knows Jeff and basically said, hey, heads up, great stuff. So let's just make sure that we have that longer cord before we publicize.
I have two questions too. So one, it's free, right? Is the long-term plan that it stay free?
I don't know.
Okay.
For two charge, it would be something pretty nominal, I would think.
But we will eventually have to charge because we don't want people to park there.
Yeah, it's like I have never been to one that it's free for 2 hours and then they start charging.
Mm. And my second question is, do we have a tracking capability on that to be able to see what the usage is?
We should be able to see that through the ChargePoint software. That's included.
And that's actually a good question because ChargePoint's a pretty built-out platform. So we should be able to get all kinds of honesty. So
especially if we can use it to track, you know, to help us track how many EVs there are. You know, well, I guess some are passing through, so we don't know for sure. But it would just be interesting to see.
It'll be a good data point for that for sure. So yeah. I think once it goes online, maybe we'll quarterly or something, we'll pull some. That'll help guide future. Okay, Oak Park Sustainability website.
I can put it.
Okay, so in the. I was talking before about the Planet Green Leaders Forum. In the meeting prior to that, Oak Park introduced, this is just one portion of their new website, but it's pretty slick, so I just wanted to share it with everybody. So if you just scroll down a little bit, right here they have right on the front page, they have a bunch of metrics, and they say they're going to be updating this quarterly. So
So they're tracking the number of energy assessments in Oak Park, and I'm attempting to get some information on that. Sarah and I are working on that. Not too much progress yet. This is the ComEd energy assessments. Because when they had a committee formed to talk about the climate action plan, they said, you know, the first thing you want to do is improve efficiency. We're not going to have significant reductions by just throwing solar on top of, you know, leaky buildings and all other kind of inefficient things. So the first step is the energy assessments. And then they have community solar, which at this point they have 275 households, or at least that was at the end of the third quarter. Weatherization, I'm not exactly sure what that is. I don't know if that's specific to Oak Park, but Oak Park is giving assistance on weatherization. And then rooftop solar, the number that have rooftop solar right there. And then if you scroll back up to the top, this is a very interactive thing. So, okay, if you click on Take Action Now, it takes you to this page where they ask, if you scroll down just a little bit, it asks you, you know, like what type of person you are. They have different programs for home renter, homeowner, and landlord. So maybe you could just click on homeowner as an example of the kind of things that they'll show you there. And there's also assistance. So these are the programs for homeowners, community solar, and you can get to their community solar right by their rooftop solar, energy assessments, and energy efficient grants. Oh, because part of what Oak Park is doing, they're giving out grants up to $10,000. I just wanted to share it with you. I'm hoping everybody will take a look at it, just because there is a lot of thought was, professional marketing company which specializes in sustainability put it together. So there's really a lot of thought and effort, and I think we should lift as much as we can.
So do you know who the vendor is for this?
I can get it for you.
I would like to, get more information about who the vendor was, the timeline, how long it took them to put this together, how much because when I look at that, I think that there are a couple things that are, one is it looks to me an independent website from the rest of the village website.
I believe that's true.
We are, as far as I know, unless things have changed, Sarah, we're really constrained in layout within the village
I wonder
website.
If that's why they did it this way.
Yeah, because one of the ways that you get here is from, you go to the Oak Park website and they say Better Homes, Better Planet, and you click on it, and it takes you to
a different place. Because the layout options within the village website are just extremely limited, right? Like the menu is over on the right-hand side, and it's this scrolling thing. And as I understood it from before, there's just not much that we can do from a layout point of view. And the second is just that takes to do quality. I mean, I have a vision of something like this, but there is no way I have time as a volunteer.
Yeah. And I don't think anybody expects you to.
And that goes back to the issue you raised at the board meeting last night, right? Are we prepared to budget to hire, which I'd be happy to put that person and give them
important. I answer the question unless we.
What it costs.
What is something like. Not only do we have to budget, but we have that,
it'd be perfect
and should be allocated to us. And I think we all agree communication is arguably
our weakest
and our biggest opportunity.
And that's no statement on you, Beth. It's just a lack of resources.
And even last night, that came up, that part of the problem is we're doing, the village has done some very cool things from standpoint, but we have not communicated all to people, and I mean, this is your life mission, so you know exactly. To spend some money to do something cool and very valuable to the residents, good argument to have.
Well, and the other nice thing about this is it carries out an idea I've had of it's more action-oriented, right? Like, it's not a passive post information.
No,
action oriented.
And it also shows that there's things that everybody can do. Because, I was talking to my daughter, not because this is the only thing that I talk about, but it actually is. So I was talking to my daughter about it, and she says, well, I'm a renter. What can I do? So I sent her to Oak Park's website, and I said, the links aren't going to take you there, but you can do all of these things, And so I
And also, I guess it's interesting dividing up by sort of the user type, you know, renter, homeowner, or landlord, which is certainly a logical way to do it. But another thing I've been thinking about is people up by sort of their persona. That is, are you kind of a newbie to sustainability stuff, or are you somebody who wants to, like, you know, really dive into all of those energy details that other people don't want to? It's like a typical way is like defining, trying to say, well, if you're the type of person, go into this portion of the website. Here's like easy to do if you're more advanced, or other things you can do. Because I think that's the trouble is with the information, much you don't know where to start.
Yeah, so I think that's the way it's, you know, just are you this? And then there are, I don't know if you could see it, but there are different things about, you know, whether or not you need assistance and then putting some money back. So I also just asked Sarah to share this. So the one that I showed, or that Sarah showed previously, that one's actually like live in public right now. This is just in a beta. So, you know, just certain people have access to this at this point, but this is a website tool that they're using to get the widest possible input on the climate plan. So Sarah, if you start scrolling down, I can show you some of the things. So we just separated. So there's a comment on the map, and this one's pretty cool. So we don't have to go in there, but if you want to look at this at home, if you go in there, there's a map, and people can actually put their specific concerns in there, and they're divided by topics and different parts. And I haven't looked at it for about a week, but last week when I was looking at it, one thing was there was a little mark over on Chicago, at Chicago and Harlem, and they were referencing the bioswales that we have it on Chicago, saying maybe that's something that they could do there as well. But this whole tool is meant to have buy-in on what people think should be done. And the other thing that's kind of fun is they have this time is money, where they have this budget game, and they give you $1 million, and there's five different programs. And the default is that they're – well, actually, if you want to, you can click on that. Maybe it's silly not to say play here. And so there's – yeah, so you have $1 million, and if you scroll down, there's like all these different areas that you could use it on. And so the person that's doing this can change it and say, like, no, this is really important to me. I don't think this should just be, you know, I think this should be a higher percentage of the other one. And you just move things around, but the most that you have is $1 million. So again, the purpose of all of these things is just to get the widest possible buy-in on in constructing this climate plan. So it's kind of cleverly done. It's, you know, sort of easy and fun instead of, you know, just like asking boring open-ended questions. So if you close that up, Sarah, we can just look at the last two things on the bottom. Yeah. So the Better Homes, Better Planet, that would just take you back to the website that Sarah showed before. And then there's a community survey with some questions. So again, this is all specifically for Oak Park residents, but I just encourage you all to take a look at it. I can circulate the...
How did you get to that page?
This is a secret page. This is a...
I can...
You want to just email it to...
I can email her.
No, I mean, I have the link to the site. I'm on the Sustain...
No. This is literally like a dev site that...
Yeah, so
that
this
Susan
is,
happens to have.
This is oak-park.us/climateplan. I'll put that in the chat so everybody can see it.
I'm on the Sustain Oak Park, and
yeah,
I'm just
so
trying,
no,
to figure out how to get
one.
To that.
They're
separate pages.
They are, and this one's not
separate pages.
Yeah, this is the only way you can get into this one is with this.
I will just make one side comment, which is if you look at the programs and grants they have, you know, they're heavily focused on energy, which, as we know, is where you can have the most impact. But I don't see as much in the way of, I don't know, I think there's like a lot of creativity that's come out of this and, you know, other programs like the Healthy Lawns and the, you know, the Veg Out and the Tree Trails, just kind of these innovative ways to get people involved. And I don't see as
well,
much of
that. Well,
this
is not their commission, right? This is like the village.
Yeah, they at this point, they have like a three-person staff, and they have two different consulting. So, you know, the effort, you know.
So I wonder, but that'd be interesting, Beth, to see if, like, does the site that has those kinds of things, your veg out,
I
you
think
know,
that their Energy Environment Commission doesn't.
No, they have a different relationship. But I think, I mean, I think the focus at this point is on energy. I mean, it's. what, you know, sitting in on meetings, that's what the discussion's about. Not that these other things aren't great as a support, but, you know, this is how we're going to get the reductions. You know, as Shannon was saying yesterday, by electrifying, so we're going to see initially an increase in electrification. That's not electricity, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, because if the numbers are going up because more people have EVs and they're replacing their gas stoves with electric ones.
Us cooks, this is a tough one.
But it must be done. So, anyways, just encourage you to take it. I did put in the chat, if you want to take a look at it, I will also email it. But it's very cleverly done, and I really applaud them. But if you look at the numbers, we are doing better.
with much less resources.
But also with a far less complex,
For sure.
You know, we don't have the diversity of, you know, commercial residents.
Everything.
So,
yeah.
So I think we have an easier time. But I don't mean to be overly competitive with Oak Park. It's more like they edge me on to be better.
You're like pretty fired up. You were fired up last night about Oak Park.
Perhaps too fired up. But like I said, they edge me on. And maybe part of it is because I show up and, you know, we talk like 99% of the time about Oak Park. And I'm like, woo.
Thank you, Susan. And
yeah,
if you could find out the vendor and some information about.
I think they're two different ones, because the person, the company that put together this is actually, I mean, they hired people to do this climate action plan. So they're not attempting, even with their three employees, they're not attempting to do this on their own. And then I believe the other Better Homes, that's a marketing, as I said, that was a marketing consultant that specializes in sustainability. So.
And that's great. Comments on that? I mean, this is up for all of us to talk about, I guess.
I think I need like a date from you about the timing. I saw that Sarah did include in the packet the mailer, the postcard. I need a refresher on.
For the mailer to go out?
No. So the mailer is ready whenever we are give the go ahead for to send it out for us.
So
it was just we were in a place at the last meeting where we hadn't seen the mailer yet and we weren't sure. We wanted to send it out over the holidays.
We pick now?
But I was that's why I requested that be on the agenda, just because I didn't want to.
I didn't realize you requested. Oh yeah.
I didn't want to wait until the January meeting to say when should it go out, because we've already lost 2 weeks. So
like traditionally, right? Like you the week of the 10th is kind of when you've cleared the noise of the holidays. Anybody have like a strong opinion, or Lisa from a marketing standpoint? Do you have any feedback on when we should send the mailer out?
I mean, January is a good time because it's pretty, like, January, there's not a lot going on. But, yes,
so
I'm
sorry, go ahead.
I would just wait till the second week.
So that's the week of the 10th. So why don't we instruct them to send it out the week of the 10th? That would be great.
Well, can I just ask, like, once it goes out, the mailer says contact MC squared? I mean... I don't have the full picture.
I'd also like to share that this is live, because I went to it and said, oh, let me try this out. And next thing I knew, I was on the waiting list. So people can actually access this right now, even though would you believe to be true, Sarah?
Wait, what's the question?
That this is live. I mean, if you go in there, you can sign up right now.
Yeah.
The mailer is just the announcement about it, but the program is set, and all of you guys hopefully will go home tonight, and except for Eric, because he has rooftop.
So, I mean, one thing we can do is So it's a double-sided mailer, right? At sort of the River Forest side on here, and that's what that QR code goes to. It goes to the vrf.us/community-solar. And then the second page is sort of more like program information. And then this QR code here goes to it goes directly to the waiting list.
Yeah, when MC is
this to the application?
What's that, Lisa?
Like, so it goes to a waiting list. Like, when will consumers actually be able to reap the benefits?
So the way community solar works is they have to collect enough people to have a project. So a friend of mine signed up and waited 6 months, but I think the fact that we're signing up an entire village, we could expect a shorter wait time, especially depending on how effective we are. But they need to, you know, essentially they're getting the enrollees before they invest in the project.
It trails a little bit. And correct me if I'm wrong, Sarah, because Sarah actually asked some questions on this. But like the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus did secure, you know, capacity. They've sold out of that capacity. They are now securing additional capacity, and until that happens, our signees are going to have to wait.
I think that's my understanding, too. And
my
I know
simplified.
That they're going to have a few more community solar projects online next year. So hopefully our residents are into those. Yeah. But that 20% rate is locked in for us.
Yeah, but maybe then we should maybe plan some sort of, like, again, like announcement on the website, as well as this email, this postcard, plus maybe something on our social media channels, so that we can tell the whole story, that they understand.
Well, right. That's why I think I was kind of waiting to see, like, were we ready? And I had talked to Maggie, actually, about writing the February monthly feature to be about community solar, because January is Shannon's, and I think to see if that timing would be good.
That's,
sounds like it
perfect.
Would be good. And, you know, the mailer could go before then, but I think, like, as a resident, I don't know. I feel like this page, the community solar page, is really great. I assume the two of you put it together. Okay. there's like tiny stuff. Right? Like, I'm not sure I quite understand about the aggregation part. First of all, if I'm a resident, I'm probably like, I don't remember. Am I in the aggregation or not? And this is a needs thing, but I didn't quite understand what it means. You have to drop your account back to ComEd so that you can subscribe. So meaning that you can, it sounds like you can do both, but I actually don't think you can, right? Like, you would have to come out of the aggregation.
Yeah, so you do need to be on the ComEd service in order. So the people who are on the green aggregation in that program are not actually on ComEd service. So but MC Squared administers both programs. So if someone who's on the waiting list, once they go through and they start signing people up, if they're in the community aggregation program, they just notify them and kind of pull them off and pull them onto ComEd service so that they can get the
right. You wouldn't be in aggregation anymore.
Right.
Essentially, it's like you can, if you're already signed up, you can switch, but so there isn't.
Yeah, and Deb, it says that right at the bottom. What if I'm already signed up for the aggregation program?
I know, but I don't want to, you know, get into. I'm just saying that the way it's written right now makes it sound like you can be part of both, whereas I think what you're trying to say is that you can switch if you want.
I mean, technically you can be part of both, but there's really no benefit to you to be in both. If you want the net credits from the community solar, you need to be back on the ComEd service. So,
I can up to say, if you're on the aggregation program, you can stay, you can subscribe. And, you know, part of that is because there is that lag, but you can stay on aggregation until you get accepted, and then you can switch back to ComEd, and then you're on. But you're right, for an individual household, you can't be on both at the same time.
I mean, this is the first swag at this.
Do we want
to improve the language as we get questions?
Well, and the wait list, I think it would be good to explain the what was just said here, the expectation of a potential time frame. But it's great, you know, it's like 95% of the way. All I'm suggesting is if, Sarah, if you feel like you're ready to field questions and things like that, I don't have any problem with mailing it in January. And then the February article reinforces that, and we can, you know, do social media and all of that.
But are you, it sounds like you're maybe suggesting that we hold off until we have a more complete kind of media package. What would your preference be?
I mean,
next or few weeks isn't going to make.
But I mean, we can always answer questions. I mean, I think getting caught up on, you know, one, not mailing it because there's a potential for confusion. We can, as we receive questions, we can modify the website to address those questions. I can't see that as a reason to delay. I think, you know, we just evolve.
Okay. And two, we still do have the weekly newsletters that we can put an article in there. My recommendation would be to get this out as soon as we can.
I think so too.
And so that people can sign up.
And I don't think they should mail it on the 10th. I think it should be mailed to hit on the 10th. So that would mean mailing, like, I think you said 5 days or something. Because I think this is a time where people are, you know, you're coming off your holiday high and there's not really a lot going on, and there's often snow and you're housebound and you've got your New Year's resolutions. You know, why not?
So I'll get back in touch with Maggie and say that she's on for writing something for February. And I think I wanted her to interview you since, you know, it's kind of more like a feature thing about, like, well, how does this whole community solar be? And, you know.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
So just so I'm clear, we will let MMC know that we want the mailer to arrive in people's mail on January 10th. And then we can, Beth, you and I can work together offline to just kind of queue up the communications aspect. But I think that trying to time like a weekly, like an article in one of the weekly newsletters, and, you know, we can hit it up on social and everything. And then we can save like a sort of a longer form article too for a newsletter.
But kind of builds up. You have a little article, you're sharing it, and then, because I think for a lot of people, they're going to have to hear this several times,
because
then it's like, oh, people are talking about community solar. If you just hear it once, if you've never heard of it before, it's just going to kind of sail by.
Which is a good reason why to spread out some of it.
Yeah.
Actually.
Well, then if you could just, Sarah, I'm sure you can take a look or the language around the what if I'm already signed up and just clarify it.
Does it make sense to maybe bring back, I'm going to say it, you might kill me, the grid that has all the different energy options so people understand all the different options and how green they are and what, you know, they may or may not be able to do?
I personally think we should focus on community solar just to keep the message simple and you know, this is greener than the unbundled RECs. So
it is, but if we're trying to make it clear that you know, if you're on, like, if you're on one program, how do you go to the other? And if, you know, and if you're like, I have solar on the roof, I guess you're not going to sign up for that. That's the only thing I'm saying. If we're trying to be clear, that's a different conversation than trying to do this. And if we want to be focused,
I mean, as Beth said, probably a lot of people on aggregation have forgotten it because their bill doesn't look any different. And so,
well, and I said before that, like, it's nice that we have MC Squared as the program administrator for both. So, like, the mailer directs people to call them, not the village.
Yeah, they don't call them.
So
they're the ones
they'll be able to explain it to them. So.
Sarah, is this website accessible?
Yeah, it's live.
It is. Okay. So
yeah, and it is under Public Works, and so this is part of the, like, needing to fix the sustainability page, because from the sustainability page, there's actually nothing that takes you to.
So we should add that, like, right away.
So that was after we had discussed that. That's just kind of the only way I could do it.
So how do you?
And requested it, to put it here in departments and services. So it actually shows up here. So
cool.
Kind of
so it did end up there, sir?
Yes. Yeah, cool. The only way to do that was to link, like, tie it with one of the village departments. So the,
which is fine. We just need a thing, you know, like under solar, under on the sustainability page.
Sure. So we need to add a link that goes to the
more community solar, and then it takes you over.
Yeah, for information, community solar, click here. Kind of, could literally just add a sentence and.
Yeah, and I can put it on the sort of like page for the sustainability commission under like green.
Yeah, I think I think this is going to be a sign up priority. That's great. Okay, so it sounds, so what I'm hearing is we're gonna roll out media as it happens. So the 10th or around the 10th, we're gonna have the mailer go out. We're gonna follow. We'll do some weekly.
So Sarah, can it be in the newsletter on the 15th? The weekly.
Oh boy.
Well, you know, it means this is the issue we're having, right? Because there are already things that we'll have to bump something. Right, because for January, usually there's the Christmas tree composting, and I forget what else is already. I guess we could just take off the electronics recycling, which was done in January last year, because the idea is that a lot of people get electronics.
I think that for something like this,
it
like
can
a
be a
unique
separate
program,
add-on.
We can just
ability
post. That's not a problem. We want to be able to promote this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Great.
In addition,
and
to
you just want
thing.
People. You just want them to see it everywhere, so it's like, oh,
yeah. I guess we could wait on the electric charging.
Well, and that too. I mean, like the new splashy programs and everything that out. I think more than one article or post or whatever from sustainability.
Okay. Well, this is what is so great about working
and
with Sarah,
the graphic is great. I just think it really, you know, just really catches your eye. And
all right. Great. Yeah. And then February we'll have the article on the monthly, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll need to talk to Maggie about making.
Which I just want to also say, I don't know if something changed in the monthly, but I was able to read it. Did something change?
So there's two ways to read it.
Oh, maybe
really.
I just got
so
in
one,
another way.
Yeah,
I was reading it like this and I didn't like it, but this one it was like stacked.
Yeah, one you can do sort of like the magazine where you kind of flip through the pages horizontally, and then the other one is just a PDF version, so you can just kind of scroll down.
All right. Anything else on community solar communications?
I do have one question. Do we want to try to communicate it in December at all, like just prior to the mailers going out? Because it is live, like it is available.
I mean, I think we should start just doing it by word of mouth, just talking to people. And some people think it's kind of cool, like, you know, oh, this is, and in addition to that, given that it's a wait list, if you get on sooner, you're gonna get it sooner.
So what do you have in mind as far as like how to do that?
Our communications are kind of, so I guess that's the other question is, I don't know what kind of newsletters are going to be going out in the next,
so weeks, maybe if you see an opportunity, just let us know and we'll.
Next Friday is Christmas Eve, then it's New Year's Eve. So it's not a great time to get people's attention.
No.
I mean, it could go on the village, like the social media.
The thing is, what we're trying to do is to get some coherence around, like, not some, we're putting this in social media and this other thing in the e-newsletter and this other thing on the website, right? Like, if we've decided that we want to communicate about people are reading one or not the other, and also multiple times, and it is really confusing to keep track of the calendar. Like, the idea is that we as the volunteers are, I guess I at least, it's pretty hard to manage. It's like, oh, let's put this thing over there. Let's put this thing over there, right? Like, we're trying to have a calendar. So what I've tried to do is to say topics, and she's asked us to write the content, which each one actually does require some attention, right? This one, you're so involved in it, you could probably just do a little thing. Mm-hmm. But I think Sarah's asked, I don't know, it's like, fly every week, right? And I kind of get ahead of it and have a little bit of fun. So, but the idea is that if I lay out a bunch of content, then I sure could have the discretion to move it around. So she sees an opportunity, you know, and that's fine. said, the rest of the issue is the things that were laid out before by Lisa. A lot of them are sort of standard, right? Like holiday lights recycling, which heard last night was successful, is being successful because we got the word out about it at the right time. Right time to do that, beginning of January. At the same time, we need to be open to these things that are actually like fresh new news, right? Not just like stuff every year. So I would say we could just look and see. I'm having what else we had for December, and if we just want to bump something, or if Sarah has space to add something, you could do like a short thing that just says, community solar is coming, watch for more information in a mailer in January.
Like a
I think that's what you're thinking.
Like a soft launch.
Yeah, and Kathy, I think, had something in one of her e-newsletters, you know, maybe even a couple months ago. But I'm certainly, you know, in favor of that. I just don't know if I can write the blurb because I'm done writing stuff for December.
No, I'd be happy to write the blurb. So if you determine that it's best to do in December, I'm happy to write it. But I can also see your argument for waiting till January.
I personally think nobody's going to look at this between, even if they see it, they'll be like, whatever, because they're all getting ready for the end of the year.
They won't take any action. So
no. I mean, seriously, I just think about me. I'm at work. We're trying to get done all the end of year stuff. We're trying to get prepared for the end of year holidays. We're trying to be with family, plan trips, whatever. The last thing
right.
you're looking
so
at
is- the December lineup was Charlotte's thing already went out the first week. Then I'm pretty sure it was holiday lights recycling. And then, Susan, we have your home energy assessment. And then we have the general reduce, reuse, recycle during the holidays, which was a big thing that Lisa or someone put together last year. So the home energy assessment one, maybe, Susan, that could be held because that's not time sensitive.
That already went.
Oh, okay. I can't even keep track.
we can wait till January, Beth. I don't think it matters.
But if you could write the blurb so that it's ready to go at any time, right? That's the idea. It's like I try to organize it. Different people with expertise write the stuff. We get it slotted in. So, you know, you're very familiar with it. If you write the little blurb, then Sarah can run it with.
Okay. Great. Good conversation. And that on the agenda. All right. Bedrock campaign strategy. I think Beth, you met with Terry on this.
So Carrie can't be here tonight, so I'd suggest that I just share what we talked about, and
that's great.
Okay,
we'll throw it on the
but what we talked about, basically from a communications point of view, right, we talked about featuring certain activities to highlight. Now it sort of seems like the first quarter or first couple months is actually going to be about community solar, so that fits with some brainstorming Carrie and I did around with something like Veg Out, just like with Tree Trails. We feel like we need a hook to get people to the program's been out there. It's a great idea. We have no idea if people are doing it and sort of there, right? But I think that Carrie is concerned, as am I, it's like, where's the bandwidth that we have, right? And what's the incentive? So I think for things like that, you need a time frame like we did for Tree Trails and say people who turn in their stuff by a certain time, you know, we did 3 months of free compost. I suggested maybe doing some brainstorming around what would incentivize people to participate in this program. And I was really coming at it from effectively about it, right? I feel like you have to have something to say. But I think we're both kind of concerned operationally, really, where's the bandwidth to implement it. Towards the end of our brainstorming, we were sort of thinking, well, maybe it's more of a warm weather thing where hopefully if we ever get past this pandemic, you know, eating is like a social thing, right? Like what if you could have like everybody bring their Veg Out Wednesday thing, you know, to the park, picnic in the park and see what other people are having. I mean, we talked about sharing on Instagram, like, you know, if you post your pictures. She felt that those kinds of online things were not going to be very effective to get people to participate. So that's essentially what we were kind of figure out? How do you get people to participate?
So just throw this on the January agenda, and we'll go into a little more detail.
Yeah, people can be thinking about it. Now, I think from today's meeting, it's clear to me that this idea of sort of pushing one thing at a time, community solar, I'm going to say, will be like the first quarter, right? And then the maybe April, May, June might be a good time to.
All right, some other business I'd want to kind of throw out there that Lisa and I were talking about and Sarah might be a fan of is, so this meeting is the same week of the trustees meeting. So what happens is people like Lisa and Sarah and then any of us that, you know, have business with the Board of Trustees end up having two long nights in a row. So the question was, do we want to pick a different Tuesday to do this meeting, like the third Tuesday?
That makes total sense.
I will have to.
Yeah, I know. You have to see if there's conflict.
Yeah, so
there might not be a Tuesday for us. So let's, okay. So if you don't mind checking that, then we can talk about it next time or even offline between meetings.
Yeah, or, you know, one thing I can do, too, is check that. I just have to find it. And then I can send out, like, a doodle poll or something. Everyone's availability looks like for those dates.
That'd
that
be great.
The community room is.
Cool. Thank you. Okay, and I should have asked probably going. And is that helpful, or do you rather bang out two meetings in a row?
it doesn't.
Yeah, fair enough.
I bet I appreciate the question.
No worries. Okay. Any other business?
One other thing, really, it's just for Sarah. I know I asked Shannon last night about having the write-up because you need that by mid-December for the January one. I know she's working on it, but like a couple of days of grace in there, because I'm sure she's busy after spending all of last night putting that together.
Yeah. I also think it would be helpful if we had, you know, somebody last night said this should go on our webpage. I think it would be helpful that it be up there when, you know, prior to Shannon, so that people there and they
right
they can go for themselves and see it
on my list.
Even the people who have seen it, it's just flying by. It's
absolutely
hard to read the tiny little fonts and
Jeff, anything else?
I have two more items,
please.
One is, and I brought this up last night, that I think we should put in a, well, if you guys agree, a request to set up a sustainability fund with aggregation money so that that's dedicated to projects which will fund and sustainability. I think, number one, that'll make it clear to the village residents that we're self-funding these projects, so it's not additional
right,
additional
not
requests
not
that are competing.
Dollars.
Yeah, tax flow dollars that are competing. And I think it'll show, you know, as a village, it will show our commitment, because you know, anybody that reads through the budget and says we allocate $5,000 and our neighboring town has three employees and two consultants. It's,
I don't know anything about village finances except that it's complicated.
I just want to, that's why I said I have no idea how you do that, but I just wanted to initiate that conversation.
So if we could maybe
to be taken up in the future.
Not to throw more on your plate, but maybe if we can try to figure out
just,
what we.
Yeah, maybe in January we could just talk about, like, how we would, you know, how would we start to go about doing that?
Let me just tell you what we're going to have to do on that. You're going to have to, again, I go back to the budget. I mean, basically, we can request spending from the village however we want. Any of our spending needs to be approved by the village board of trustees. Last year, we tried to put a budget together. We did not agree on what that would be. So I think the first step is, if we want to have a fund, it has to be toward a certain goal. We just can't have a bucket of money. It has to be a bucket of money that's going to do something. And then I think we can go in front of village board and request, obviously go through the pre-approval process, but then ultimately it would go in front of the village board for their approval on a budget that would be supporting something. You know, and some of the things we had talked about last year were, and we did use the funding for this, I mean, basically for the EV charging station, the part of the funds that did not come from grants were paid for by the MC Squared funds. We talked about potentially funding an employee from Greenest Region Core. We had talked about a bunch of different stuff. So I think it really all starts with, if we're going to have funds, what are we going to do with those funds? And that would then be what would have to be approved, because the village board needs to approve an expenditure of cash as part of kind of their responsibilities. So just something to think about.
So, right. If we were really organized, we'd have an annual budget put together, and then we'd get approval on that.
Mm-hmm. That's something we can work towards.
Yeah, for sure. And what is the fiscal calendar year?
It starts, I think it's April 1st. Is it
May 1 to April 30th?
So that should be our goal.
Yeah, so that gives us a heads up to get in. So we should find out, maybe, sorry, could you find the deadline for submitting a budget? I can work towards that goal.
But I think just going back to what Lisa was discussing, I think that, are you talking about just the $5,000 that the commission's allocated, or
the aggregation?
Okay. I think that you have kind of two options here. Sort of what Lisa was talking about, where, you know, What sort of projects are we anticipating funding with this revenue? So I think that if you present that to the board, there will be more support for something like that than of like a pie in the sky, like these are things that you want to spend money on, sort of whatever as it comes up. So
yeah.
I think,
no, I agree. I think we should state up front the exact purpose of what we're doing.
So we heard that. So I think it would be like we would have very specific, like,
mm-hmm.
this cost X. Like if we're gonna, by the way, if we're gonna like hire someone to put together a website for us,
right.
We'll have a $1,500 request for website construction.
But I'm suggesting that we write a budget that's not $5,000, but that incorporates the aggregation.
Yeah.
Aggregation plus.
And then alternatively, you know, sort of like the electric vehicle charging station, it wasn't something that was budgeted, but there were these revenue that was available, and you just board and, you know, they you still sort of have that avenue to travel down.
And the second one has to do with trees. This is just a little detail. I wonder if it was picked up, but we're part of, we have a designation as a community arboretum or municipal arboretum, I'm sorry. And so there's this centennial tree initiative, and we had the opportunity to get, I don't know, somewhere in the vicinity of 50 or 100 trees free from Morton Arboretum. And I just wondered if anybody was following through on that. I know it was something that John and Mark were looking into, but I think both of them have since left. So it was just something that I thought might, and I can talk to you more about it offline, but it was just something I wanted to get on your radar because it was a good opportunity. You know, we were talking about, that was, as we said last time, you know, we're trying to implement the goals of Glasgow, and one of them was forestation, and Shannon has incorporated that. So to be able to increase our tree inventory would be a really wonderful thing, and to be able to do that for free would be even better. Yeah, I can.
Any information you might already have on that?
I'll give you all the information. I'm the contact person. Yeah.
Anybody else? Hey, we are Swiss timing on our meeting. Our next meeting is January 11th. If for some reason we do decide to change our meeting time, we'll be in touch well before then. And go from there. I think for next year, we'll also consider we they don't do a meeting like in August, or I forget what it is. It's like whenever, it's like when no one's here, or you know, on their.
Of course, now we have the option of doing a Zoom meeting in August, right?
Now you're right. You know, now it's almost like
that didn't exist before,
point.
So we can check in and keep things rolling.
That's true. That's true. So January 11th, right now, is the next meeting. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Before you adjourn, can I just say there are certain like regulations about announcing meetings. So if we do change it, we have to do that with a lead time, and we have to post and announce it so that if someone wanted to be here, they would have that.
So the village board did actually just approve the 2022 meeting schedule. So last night. So if we do change the date, fine, they'll just be considered like a special meeting. But that doesn't change anything about the posting requirements. So it's still 48-hour notice.
Okay.
Okay. So there's a motion to adjourn. Is there a second? All right.
Sorry, who?
I think I did.
Beth made the motion. Jeff seconded.
Got it. Okay. Chairman Simon.
Yes.
Commissioner Charette.
Yes.
Commissioner Chang.
Yes.
And Commissioner Veazey.
Yes.
We are adjourned.
All right. Thanks, everybody.